My laws are just, my ways are right. They're all you need to fight the fight. Tear down the walls of Babylon and pay her back. She caused your need, or she made you lack. Account. No need at all. If you trust me in this, I'll heal your land as blessings begin to mount. Shut them out. Tear down the walls of Babylon and let her sink. Washing in my word can rid you of the stink. You have bought insurance in the fear of losing it all. Go on and lose it all. Unless you give it,
welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to By Yahweh's Design. I'm Pastor Dan, your host for this live radio broadcast. Today is the 13th day of April, year 2016, and we've entitled tonight's program, Jeremiah, Chapter 11. Before we begin, we do dedicate this program to our Heavenly Father, Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this program to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian, or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo Hebrew. By the way, Paleo Hebrew is our language, not the language of the imposter Revelation 2:9 Jews, which is Yiddish. Interestingly enough, in their own tongue, Yid means deceiver. So Yiddish is the language of the deceivers. They indefinitely are Yids, are they not? Shumai to my Welsh kinsmen across the ocean. Welcome to the program. If you wish to help us with a donation, or you want to go gather information that we've posted at the website, you can go to www.byyahwehsdesign.com and peruse through the pages, etc., and see if you find something of interest. If you have a comment or question or constructive criticism, please send an email to bydpastordan@yahoo.com. And again, that's bydpastordan@yahoo.com. To our listeners and supporters, we do again thank you for allowing us to share this time with you. We know everybody's busy, certainly in this day and age, with all of the, let's say, strange things that are going on. It certainly has everybody befuddled and confused, but that's exactly what the Antichrist wants, okay? That's why Father, when he walked this earth as Jesus the Christ, Yahshua HaMashiach, he said, when you see all these things happening, and remember in the New Testament or the newer scriptures, if you will, he told us and described to us the condition of mankind and the things that would be going on in this world. Pretty much, that's exactly what's happening. He said, I'm telling you this ahead of time so that you do not worry. In other words, if I told you ahead of time this is all going to happen, you should understand that I know what I'm talking about. Is that not the verification of a prophet? In other words, anybody can claim to be a prophet, but the proof in the pudding, so to speak, was whether or not it came to pass or not. In the old days, if a prophet made a prophecy and it did not come to pass, he was generally stoned, executed as a false prophet. You see, it's Yahweh puts quite a burden on those that would preach his message to his sheep. That's why the preachers are in dire jeopardy of a double potion of vengeance upon them. The lying preachers in churchianity today. The scripture says that even their parents at the end of the age will help in hunting them down. They will be that vilified. They will be that hated for their distrust and for their leading the sheep to the slaughter by teaching the doctrines of devils instead of Yahweh's pure word. We've got lots of them out there, these televangelists, all these mega churches, etc. There's not an ounce of truth in any of them. Don't darken the doorstep of these vile, whitewashed sepulchers. Now, today's title, Jeremiah 11, is because I believe, as I was reading an article today about the economic woes that are going on around the world, or I should say all over the world, at this time, it was pointed out to me that Jeremiah in chapter 11 gave a warning to Yahweh's people. Who are the Caucasian Israelites today? Because many of them aren't paying attention. In fact, the scripture says 2/3 aren't going to make it. And the way I see our condition of our people today, I'm surprised that 1/3 will make it, to be honest with you. Because we only want bits and pieces. We only want the smooth words. We only want to hear what is pleasing to us. In other words, you can give me partial truth, but don't give me it all. If you're going to tell me about the Jews, okay, but I don't want to hear about the food laws. I don't want to hear about the coinage laws. I don't want to hear about the marriage laws. They're not comfortable, so don't tell me about those. Well, I've got news for you, people. Our Heavenly Father isn't sitting up there giving one rat's rear end or one damn what you think. How dare the creation lay demands on the creator? I just can't believe people today, with the availability of the truth that's out there, and it's all around us, and yet they hang on to the lies and the deceptions of the false church and the false prophet. The false prophet, of course, comes to you over electronic media. It is the image owned by the beast. We should stop calling it the image of, because of can take on several connotations. The scripture, when it refers to that image, it's the image controlled by or owned by, in possession of, the beast. That same image that could make a man appear alive though he were dead, that image that comes across the fiber optic cables and coax cables into your house, carrying Satan's kids' message to you. You know, technology can be used for good or evil, like most things in this world. Money can be used for good or evil. Weapons can be used for good or evil. It's our choice. This Babylonian money system is getting ready to collapse. There is no doubt about that. Revelation makes it quite clear that Babylon is about to fall, and it will be an economic collapse. Have no doubt whatsoever. It's interesting to me that the Baltic Dry Index, which is a, how do you say this? It represents the shipping that's going on across the earth. And for the first time in history, it's at the lowest level it has ever been, meaning there are no ships. Ships aren't carrying these goods in and out of countries as they had been up till now. Now, is this the work of the Father, or is this the work of the Antichrist? Scripture doesn't really say, does it? Just says that that is one of the signs. It is one of the things that will happen to bring Babylon down to its knees, because people won't be buying their garbage. The garbage that pollutes this earth. The garbage that they say we need, but they use the propaganda to convince us of that. We need a bigger house. We need this toy. You need a bigger, faster car. You need a bigger screen. You don't need those things, people. You may want those things, but you don't need those things. Big difference. Our prayer to our Heavenly Father every day should be for the things that we need to keep our families together, to keep us alive and healthy, obedient to Him, and enjoy the world that He has put here before us. Instead, we're willing industrial slaves to the Jew master, to be perpetual consumers, perpetually in debt to their Babylonian banking system. That's not of the Father. This world is reaching a crossroads very, very, very soon. And the people of this world must make a decision. Do you want to go forward from this day on and walk in the ways of our Heavenly Father Yahweh, or do you want to walk in the ways of the Antichrist? It's painfully obvious. When they erect 50-foot towers to Baal in a major United States city and a major city in the United Kingdom, the Antichrist forces are making their play. They are putting their standard to their father, Lucifer, to where everybody can be sure of where they stand. Where are the Israelites and those who love Yahweh? Where is our standard? I would submit to you that possibly one of the standards that we had created many years ago when we first started going on speaking tours, and Pastor Eli can attest to this, we had made a banner that had the name of Yahweh in Paleo Hebrew on it. And we would hang that banner up at all of our gatherings. Now, somebody may have a better idea, but to me, that's a wonderful standard. Our Father's name in the original language, the sacred language of the ancient Hebrews, and have that fly as our banner, because He is our rock and our refuge. He says not to lean on our own understanding, but to trust Him in all of our ways. Commit all of our ways to Yahweh, and they shall succeed. How many people can you count on your hands that you know follow those recommendations? How many people, honestly? If Yahweh were to come tonight and take only those that truly love Him, who will truly do the right thing for the right reason, who truly want to see this world changed for the better, how many people can you count versus how many people want to keep their toys, want to keep their 401k, want to keep their big house? These things are all nice things to have if they're gifts from the Father for a life of doing the right things. But a lot of you know damn well you didn't get them that way. You've done unspeakable things in some cases at the behest of your Jewish masters. You've lied, obfuscated, corrupted your testimony, all in the name of keeping the status quo. In Jeremiah chapter 11, many years ago, this happened to the prophet, and it's applicable to today. So let's take a few minutes and read the World English Bible translation of Jeremiah 11. The word that came to Jeremiah from Yahweh, saying, "Hear the words of this covenant, and speak to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And say to them, Yahweh, the God of Israel, says, cursed is the man who does not hear the words of this covenant, which I commanded your fathers in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt, out of the iron furnace, saying, obey my voice and do them, according to all which I command you. You shall be my people, and I will be your Elohim God, that I may establish the oath which I swore to your fathers, to give them a land flowing with milk and honey as it is today. Then answered I and said, Amen, Yahweh. Yahweh said to me, proclaim all these words in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem, saying, hear the words of this covenant and do them. For I earnestly protested to your fathers in the day that I brought them up out of the land of Egypt, even to this day, rising early and protesting, saying, obey my voice. Yet they did not obey, nor turn their ear, but walked every one in the stubbornness of their evil heart. Therefore I brought on them all the words of this covenant, which I commanded them to do, but they did not do them. Yahweh said to me, a conspiracy is found among the men of Judah and among the inhabitants of Jerusalem. That's our people, folks. They are turned back to the iniquities of their forefathers, who refuse to hear my words, and they are gone after other gods to serve them. The house of Israel and the house of Judah have broken my covenant which I made with their fathers. Therefore Yahweh says, behold, I will bring evil on them, which they shall not be able to escape. And they shall cry to me, but I will not listen to them. Then shall the cities of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem go and cry to the gods to which they offer incense. But they will not save them at all in the time of their trouble. Let me stop here just at the end of verse 12. Do you follow what's happening here? It's exactly a statement of the condition of the white race today. We've chased after all the gods of our fathers when they fell into heathenism. We chase after money. We chase after political promises. We chase after celebrity status. We chase after God knows what all we chase after, thinking that that will somehow make us better. We don't need the God of heaven because we have the little G gods promising all kinds of goodies down here. That's the Jews in the dark, whispering like a little snake, like Nakash, the Hebrew word for the snake, Nakash, whispering to Eve, you can be as God. You don't need that guy up there. You can be as a God unto yourselves. We have money. Look, all we have to do is push a button on a computer and there's another $1 trillion, which is exactly what they're doing. And they just throw the money around. And the simpletons that we are, we scramble to pick up the dollars, put it in our bank accounts, thinking, oh, I'm set. It says here that in those days they prayed to their gods to come and save them. They're going to pray that the Jew will uphold his end of the bargain. I got news for you. How many times on this radio show have we told you? The communist Khazar cabal Jew never holds up his end of the bargain. He's Satan's kids. Have you ever read where Satan upheld his end? If you have, I'd like to see your Bible, because in mine, Satan is a deceiver. Satan's kids, the Jews, are deceivers. Everything about them is deception. So just as the men of Judah and Jerusalem in the day of Jeremiah, instead of repenting, which means change the way you think, instead of repenting of their going after false gods, they cried out to their false gods. Imagine that. And their false gods ignored them. Could have told you that ahead of time if you'd have just asked. We've said it many times, when the communists go to take over a country, who are the first people they line up along the wall and execute in mass? The useful idiots of the mother race who helped them take over. In Russia, it was the white Russians who thought that their false god would let them be part of the ruling elite, while the Jews massacred tens upon tens of millions of innocent Christian men, women, and children. So there's not a whole lot of remorse from this person for the white Russians who were traitors to their own kind when the communists decided to throw them under the bus. The same thing's going to happen today for all of the white traitors amongst our race doing the bidding of these Jews. And I'm talking especially to you people in very high positions in government and the military. Your days are numbered. Do you think that the Jew intends to uphold his end of the bargain when it has never happened before? But you're going to tell yourself this time it'll be different? You really are dumber than a box of rocks. Continuing with verse 13, for according to the number of your cities are your gods, Imagine that. Every city had its own god, so to speak. Judah, and according to the number of the streets of Jerusalem, have you set up altars to the shameful things? Even altars to burn incense to Baal. How about that? Incense to Baal. I wonder what the satanic forces have planned in New York when that Baal entrance to the Temple of Baal is erected there. I wonder how many things you're not being told about that they have planned. Maybe some human sacrifice? You simpletons wouldn't know because you rely on the mainstream media for all your information. They could literally kill dozens of people and spread their blood around and you wouldn't know it. Because the Jew-controlled media didn't tell you. You don't have enough sense to know who you're dealing with. Therefore, do not pray for this people. This is commandment to Jeremiah here. This is the same commandment to you and me today, people. Pay attention. Therefore, do not pray for this people, neither lift up cry nor prayer for them. For I will not hear them in the time that they cry unto me because of their trouble. You know, while I've been sick, I've noticed my patience is getting very, very short. And I've wondered, is it something I've done to myself? Is it a sign of the times? What is this? Why all of a sudden do I have so little patience for the people that I've been trying to wake up for so very long? Whether we're talking about health issues, the Bible, military, government, you name it, education. For years and years and years now, Pastor Eli, myself, Dan in Georgia, and many others have been beating our heads against the wall, trying to wake our people up. And I believe it's because we're getting very close to that time that was spoken of, especially here in Jeremiah chapter 11, where it is so obvious the evil that is being portrayed, the evil that is being allowed by our so-called leaders. They're not really our leaders. You may think they are, but they're not. They may claim to have jurisdiction over us, but they don't. Only you can give them that. They are interlopers. They are outlaws. As the Apostle Peter told us in the scriptures, if it's a choice between obeying God and men, you must choose God. Even William Blackstone, the great jurist of England in his day, stated that any law created by any legislature that runs counter to God's law is no law at all. You see, we've become pagans. Most of the people in our country today worship false gods. And so Yahweh says here, we should not even offer up a prayer for those who are that reprobate, that apostatized. The churchgoers, you Judeo-Christians, my days of being concerned at your fate are coming to an end. My days for the people in the military and the government, wishing them to repent, are coming to a close because things are that evil. If you can't see it now, you will never see it. If you can't decide to repent and come out of her, my beloved, as the song said, come away from Babylon so that you do not partake of her plagues. The plagues are coming, folks. The death angel in the days of the Hebrews in Egypt are coming. The significance of the Passover, you will witness it. Yahweh is going to send plagues upon this earth. His patience is at an end. And I believe that is where my patience lies also. So I offer no prayer of support. I offer no prayer for those who choose to be evil. No prayer whatsoever, except an imprecatory prayer that you be cursed and destroyed. 15:15. What has my beloved to do in my house, since she has worked lewdness with many, and the holy flesh is passed from you? When you do evil, then you rejoice. You see, that's how wicked we've become. There's another verse that says at this time we would be so wicked that we would not even blush at our transgressions. You see white women and white men walking down the street holding hands with other races. They don't blush. You see the preachers getting up in front of their churches teaching the doctrines of Jews, which is another name for devils. They don't blush. Telling the congregations it's okay to be transgender, homosexual, bisexual, pretty much everything goes today. They don't blush. We have a usury debt money system that was created out of the pits of hell by these Jews and has enslaved our nation. These congressmen don't blush. These Supreme Court justices don't blush. Of course, now it's over half Jew. And pretty soon the government representatives are going to cave in on the latest Jew nominee. And Obama and Biden are humbling themselves before the Queen of the Federal Reserve, Yellen, another Jew, getting their marching orders because the collapse is close. They've made their choices. There's no prayer from this household for them, just the imprecatory prayer. Yahweh called your name a green olive tree, beautiful with goodly fruit. With the noise of a great tumult, he has kindled fire on it, and its branches are broken. Yep, Jacob Israel is broken. For Yahweh of armies, who planted you, has pronounced evil against you. Because of the evil of the house of Israel and of the house of Judah, which they have worked for themselves in provoking me to anger by offering incense to Baal. I'm talking to you people. You know who the hell you are. I know you do. The Holy Spirit is sticking pins and needles in your comfort zone, in that little bubble that you've made around you, thinking that you can just ignore the consequences of your evil, as if you ignore it, it will just go away. Well, I got news for you. It isn't going to go away. Yahweh does not forget. His children have been given so much, and yet they've chosen, willfully chosen, to follow in the paths of Baal. No, there's no mercy for you now. There's no even prayer for your converting. You've made your decision. The door on the ark will go closed very soon. Your days of having a chance to change are almost over. And hallelujah for that, because once that door goes up, then the plague comes. Then the fires of Yahweh's judgment will burn the tares up. Verse 18, Yahweh gave me knowledge of it, and I knew it. Then you showed me their doings. But I was like a gentle lamb that is led to the slaughter, and I did not know that they had devised devices against me, saying, "Let us destroy the tree with its fruit, and let us cut him off from the land of the living, that his name may no more be remembered." This is the rebellion of our people. The prophet, the weeping prophet Jeremiah, was trying to awaken his people. What was their response? They conspired to cut him down. and his teachings, which are the branches of his tree and his fruit, that they be remembered no more. In other words, don't tell me about Yahweh. Don't tell me about what's right and wrong, because I want to be a God unto myself. Besides, the serpent has guaranteed me that I can be. Eve fell for that one, and in the end brought Adam down with her. It's been the same ever since. Satan's kids whisper in your ears telling you, you don't have to listen, you don't have to obey. Listen to us. We have all of this trillions of non-existent money. Just entries in computer banks, and yet people will sell their very soul. They will not only sell their soul, but they'll sell out the soul of our nation, our race. Do you think there's any mercy? There's any remorse that you're going to be cut off soon from this guy? Not from me. You've had your chance. You've been preached to by many of us for a very long time. And praise Yahweh that the time is almost over. The time of waiting for vengeance for what this earth has been put through by these megalomaniacs, these automatons, these international bankers who will do any and all for the name of profit, even destroy the very earth that we rely on to live on. They don't care. They figure they're going to be dead in the ground, so what do we care that we're polluting the air, the water, the food supply, the good things of this earth? What do we care? We've made our money. We've lived a high life because there is no hereafter for them. They don't care. Verse 20, but Yahweh of armies, who judges righteously, who tests the heart and the mind, I shall see your vengeance on them. For to you have I revealed my cause. He's talking to the prophet. Therefore, Yahweh says concerning the men of Anathoth, which is the city of the priests, where Jeremiah was born, who seek your life, saying, you shall not prophesy in Yahweh's name, that you not die by our hand. In other words, it's their threat. Remember what it says about a prophet is never accepted in his own hometown? Jeremiah wasn't even accepted by the other priests in Anathoth, the very town where he was born. And they told him, don't prophesy in Yahweh's name so that we don't have to kill you. Sounds like a Jew, doesn't it? They threaten you as if you don't acquiesce to their demands, then they're somehow justified in committing murder. Typical Jew. Therefore, Yahweh of armies says, behold, I will punish them. The young men shall die by the sword, and their sons and their daughters shall die by famine, and there shall be no remnant to them. For I will bring evil on the men of Anarath, even the year of their visitation. Praise Yahweh. Praise Yahweh. Again, that's Jeremiah chapter 11. That's the state of things today. Let me give you just a little example of what that's talking about. Some of you know that I have a nephew who's only 28 years old, who's fighting for his life with a severe cancer. The cancer had eaten away enough of his hip bone area that he had to have a partial hip replacement already. And then they found a growth on his neck, and it has eaten into the bone where he must wear a brace because his neck could literally snap. That's kind of exemplary of the condition of Jacob Israel in this world today. We are sick. We are full of cancers. We're full of sick and demented behavior. Now, the family has been told about a Dr. Majors. I believe his name is Charles. Charles Majors. I've watched his video. This brave young man was told at a young age that he was stage 4 brain cancer. He was a father of 3. And that he would probably die within a few weeks. There was nothing more that could be done. And as he says, we make choices in this world. You can choose to accept what these quacks, the medical mafia, tell you, and go home and just die, if that's your choice. Or you can choose Yahweh's path. Because remember, it says in the newer testaments that all things happen for the good for those who love the Father. Who love the Father. Don't just acknowledge the Father. Love the Father. Revere the Father. And so Dr. Majors made a choice. And he was going to find out what was the cause of my cancer. You see, the medical mafia doesn't care about causes. They only care about treatments because that's where the money's at. Billions upon billions of dollars being made in the hoax of the cancer industry. So Dr. Majors set about discovering what is cancer. And in his own words, cancer is a natural response of the body when you irritate, whether it's a stomach lining, an intestine, or whatever, when you irritate it over and over and over and over, you won't change. No. We're too stiff-necked for that. We'll never look at this problem as if we're doing something wrong. It's a disease. It's hereditary. It comes out of the sky. It comes out of the food we eat. It's the body's response when you will not repent. Just as the cancer of Judaism has come across this entire earth like a cancer, and the host is about ready to die. We won't repent at what is causing our problem. The Jew only gets away with what he gets away with because we are disobedient people. If we obeyed Yahweh and his commandments to us about banking, about marriage, about society, and about keeping our race pure, and about not allowing the alien to come into our government, they would have no position to harm us. It's our unrepentant hearts that cause the problem. And so Dr. Major set about discovering what it was, and he found out he had food allergies he was not even aware of. He found out he had mercury fillings that were leaching into his body poisonous mercury. I bet you most people don't even know that there's such a thing as a mercury filling and the dangers of those fillings. He also found out he had 2 viruses that had never been detected before that were eating away at his system and causing constant irritation. And so what the body's response was to form a cancer, a mass or a tumor. Not much different than on your hands when you go to the plow and you get out into the fields in the spring after being laid up all winter and you start hoeing and running the plow in the garden. And next thing you know, you've got blisters. And shortly after the blisters come the calluses. It's the body's response to your constantly irritating and damaging of a part of it. The callus comes because of the damage to the skin. The cancer because of the damage to your intestinal tract or to your pancreas. etc. If you've never seen this YouTube, you need to Google it. You need to go into YouTube and search for it. Dr. Charles Majors. It's only a little over an hour, but it is one of the best presentations I have ever seen. And as my dear father told me a long time ago, you can't argue with success. Dr. Majors, after 5.5 years later, after being told that he would probably die within a few weeks, he would never have his fourth child, which he has had. And he's now, quote, officially cancer-free. Even the establishment has to recognize it now. Even though people like me, I could care less what the medical mafia says about anything. But do you see the point? He decided to repent, which means change the way you think. Instead of thinking that this was something happening to him beyond his control, he realized that it was he himself who was causing this problem through poor choices of diet and dental surgery. He has since fixed up all those different things, and he is now 5.5 years free. Jacob Israel, the white race, could fix its problems, but historically we are a stiff-necked people, stubborn beyond belief. I've been reading an awful lot of reports, and it seems that it's imminent that this banking system will collapse. Now, what will happen once it collapses is anybody's guess. I know what the establishment thinks they're going to do, but I also don't think they're going to succeed. You see, Yahweh said that at the end of the age, it would be their vanity that would be their undoing. Babylon is going to burn, folks. Burn. Fiery judgment burns. The tares bundled will be burnt. So just like Dr. Majors, you have a choice to make. You're at a crossroads, people. Which way are you going to go? Are you going to take the road to prosperity and righteousness for all of mankind as Yahweh intended, with his people as his administrators of his law? Do you want that road, or do you want to stay on the road to destruction that you're on now? The choice is yours. Don't listen to Satan's kids, because they are condemned already. That's why they're so angry. That's why they're doing their damnedest to take as many of you poor souls with them into hell. They have no choice. They do the works of their father. That's all they can do. There is nothing hereafter for them. That's why in their twisted and sick minds, it's quite okay to rob, cheat, rape, steal, murder, blackmail, bribe, pray the Kul Nidra prayer that says that they can lie under oath. All of those things are acceptable because this is all they get. And so they see it in their mind as okay that they can lie, cheat, and steal all of us to make this a little better place for them, because there is nothing after this for them. In their own writings, they said, you can never satisfy us until we have a place of our own. In other words, this world, all of it belonging to them. And they are a filthy, evil, rotten people. And therefore, they want a world that's just as evil, filthy, and rotten as they are. They're making their nest. They are evil, foul birds making their nest. They're taking our cities. They're taking our states. They're taking our people and leading us into debauchery, because that's where they're comfortable. They're comfortable with all of that demented stuff, Who do you think invented all that? Shame on us that we allow this to happen under our noses. The scripture is very, very clear, and Jonathan David Brown's song was very, very apropos. Come out of her, my beloved, that you partake not of her plagues. Plagues. Evil will be visited upon those who will not repent. And you're going to see it. This isn't some far-off thing now. A few generations ago, you got away with it, but you're not going to get away with it this time. We've reached that point. Zechariah chapter 13, starting at verse 8, and it shall happen that in all the land, says Yahweh, two parts in it will be cut off and die. But the third will be left in it. I will bring the third part into the fire and will refine them as silver is refined and test them like gold is tested. They will call upon my name and I will hear them. I will say, it is my people. And they will say, Yahweh is my Elohim God. One third. Two thirds not going to make it, folks. And we're talking about Yahweh's people here. Yahweh's people. The people who should be of the promises and of the covenants. The trendsetters for righteousness instead are trendsetters for what the so-called celebrities, look at what they parade up on stage and look what they do. Can't you just picture the temples of Baal in the ancient times and the same things happening? Yeah, it's not hard to picture. It's not hard to imagine it, is it? It's exactly what's going on. Psalm 105. Give thanks to Yahweh, call on his name. Are you listening, one third? Call on his name. Make his doings known among the peoples. Sing to him, sing praises to him. Tell of all his marvelous works. Glory in his holy name. Let the heart of those who seek Yahweh rejoice. Seek Yahweh and his strength. Seek his face forevermore. Remember his marvelous works that he has done, his wonders and the judgment of his mouth. You offspring of Abraham, his servant, you children of Jacob, his chosen ones. That's you and me, people. He is Yahweh, our Elohim God. His judgments are in all the earth. He has remembered his covenant forever, and the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations, the covenant which he made with Abraham, his oath to Isaac, and confirmed the same to Jacob for a statute, to Israel the people for an everlasting covenant, saying, to you I will give the land of Canaan, the lot of your inheritance. When they were but a few men in number, yes, very few, and foreigners in it, they went about from nation to nation, from one kingdom to another people. He allowed no one to do them wrong. Yes, he reproved kings for their sakes. Kings for their sakes. Do not touch my anointed ones. Do my prophets no harm. We've been playing around in the sandbox for a long time, people. pretty much being oblivious to what our enemies were doing around us. Now the dragon has sent the flood, which represents people, into the white nations of this earth. Pretty soon we're going to witness what it says in prophecy, that the earth will swallow them up. For a time they will get away with what they're doing, but their time is also short. They're just tools being used. They're just useful idiots that the Jew uses. They're just another group of useful idiots, probably offered a fistful of money from the likes of George Soros, another evil individual. And for that handful of money, they'll pretty much do whatever they're told. But again, they don't realize they're being used. Their end is to be swallowed up into the earth. You know, it's funny, I'm watching this goofier of all goofy elections that we have going on right now. And I'm not saying Donald Trump is a 100% righteous man, I don't know. But he certainly has a right to say what he wants without interference. And the elite, the establishment, doesn't like the fact that so many people like what Donald Trump has to say. But you know what it reminds me of is when I read the stories of Germany back in the 1920s and 30s, when the National Socialists were coming to power. But they didn't start out as a party. They started out as just men of Germany who had been in the Great War, the First War. It wasn't a great war. It was a terrible war. Terrible. Tremendous loss of life. Completely unnecessary. And when they went back to their beleaguered nation of Germany and Austria, they were saying, what the hell happened? We had the best army, the best equipment. We had supplies stacked up to the like small mountains of supplies ready for a gigantic counteroffensive in 1918. But just before the offensive was to kick off, all of a sudden their supplies started vanishing. So when they got home from the war, they looked into it, and sure enough, the same maggots that are eating away the sustenance of the white race today in all of our nations were eating away at the German supplies from behind safe distances in Berlin. The same maggots, the same Jewish moneylenders were doing their magic to make sure Germany did not win the war. So these men would get together at the Puch halls or the beer halls, and they would have political get-togethers and talk about what was going on, much like Trump and his supporters are doing. Obviously, there's something wrong. But every time these German men would go to discuss these things and what might be done about it, in would come truckloads of communists. Now, this is a Germany that is down on her knees, destitute, with hyperinflation. And yet the Reds could afford trucks and petrol to put in those trucks, and they would show up with clubs and chains and start fights to break up the meetings. That's how the Jews do their work. You see, their MO never changes. It's just we are never smart enough to figure it out. We think a new happening is a new happening and never happened before, when really this is their MO. This is their modus operandi. The Jew always does this. The Jew is a liar and a deceiver. Communism is a lie. It has to be fed off the hard work of free and independent countries, because communism doesn't work. That's why they don't want you to have debates. They don't want to have to be called in front of a questioning audience, because they can't justify communism. It doesn't work. It destroys, which is exactly what Jews do. Like a cancer. Like termites eating away at your foundation. That's just what they do. They can't be called into account for what they're doing and justify it. Therefore, they always resort to strong-arm tactics. Of course, most of the time it's paid useful idiots that do the bleeding and the fighting while they sit back in their safe houses counting their money that they stole from the public on yet another day. So they'll promise to hand you some of their blood money if you'll just go out and disrupt the meetings for them. And simpletons will do that. Simpletons will do that. But we people that can think should see through this type of behavior. It's the same maggots eating away at our social structure, eating away at our nation, that ate away at Germany's. You know, you hear these stories about the brown shirts. I love the fact that white people are so ignorant. Really, you show your ignorance beyond belief. When I was younger, I heard the stories about the brown shirts, and I determined at the age of 30, I was tired of other people telling me about the Germans. So I started reading books, including Mein Kampf. And as I read the books, I sat there thinking, my God, this is nothing at all like what they told me in school and through the programming of television, which is Talmud vision. This isn't anything like what they talked about. These people had legitimate beefs. They cared about their country. And the brown shirts was the local German men who were getting together at these meetings, getting tired of constantly being put upon by these trucked-in communists. Jewish lapdogs. So they decided to form their own band of semi-military men who would fight fire with fire. So when the communists would come out, the men that became the brown shirts, at first they didn't. They would just tie a handkerchief or a band around their arms because there was no way to tell who was who. Because after all, Germans have as many traitors amongst them as the rest of us that'll do anything for a fistful of dollars. So back then, that was the only way to tell it. And then one day, somebody suggested that maybe we should have a uniform. And that's where the brown shirt came from. Nothing at all like what you're told. It was just simply a response, just as we talked about cancer being a response to you doing the same thing day in and day out to irritate the systems of your body. The Germans got tired of day in and day out these communists, these Jewish paid-for communists coming in and disrupting their meeting. Do you think maybe we should have some modern-day brown shirts go to Trump's meetings? I heard the veterans, the motorcycles, veterans on motorcycles by the thousands have volunteered to follow the Trump campaign and offer protection. That it's no different. It's the exact same thing. It's a response to a heinous act that's being committed against innocent people, simply trying to have a political discussion about a sick nation that's dying. I salute my fellow veterans and my fellow motorcycle riders. They've had enough. They're doing something. They said, we'll ride along and offer protection. Hallelujah. Some testosterone still exists in America. I would to God that it was multiple tens and hundreds of thousands of men that still have some testosterone left in them that said, I've had enough. Enough of this Jewish pranksterism. Enough of this Jewish lying and deceiving. Enough of these Jew paid for mobs creating havoc in our nation. How many police officers have we had wounded and killed because of shenanigans by these heinous creatures called Jews? How many of you want to lay your life down for these people, keeping the status quo for the Jewish power elite? I mean, where soldiers want to die fighting wars for international communist goals. And the international Jewish banksters and the industrial, military-industrial complex to make money. I remember a friend of mine a long time ago said, Dan, he goes, you know how we could stop this? I said, how's that? He said, we should pay all of these military contractors in script. I said, oh, really? I said, well, okay, what happens after that? He goes, well, if we got to have a war, all right, we'll pay them in script, basically IOUs. And at the end of the war, let's take the 20 companies with the most script and execute the executive officers of that company, because they're the profiteers who make money off misery, who make money off war. I thought to myself, you know what? That would work. In this day and age, we would just need more Panama Papers showing who are the profiteers who make vast fortunes off the misery that war brings to the people of this world. Wouldn't it be wonderful to see a righteous army go into the headquarters of these corporations, into the halls of government, into the halls of the Pentagon, and drag these sons of bitches out by their collars and put them on trial right then and there? Wouldn't that bring a hallelujah from the depressed and distressed people of this world? Hallelujah. To watch these dregs of society who think that their ill-gotten gain justifies their evil and atrocious ways, to see them drug out by true, righteous military men, to be put on trial, public trial. You know, we've watched enough innocent people being slaughtered. Wouldn't it be nice to see the power elite get a taste of their own medicine? I don't know about you people, but me, I would rejoice. You see, the Christ I know of doesn't believe that we're to sit back and allow these creatures to commit these crimes and get away with it. The Christ I read about and know in my heart of hearts formed a whip and beat them out of the temple. The Christ I know and love and has redeemed me is coming back this time on a charger for war with a heavenly host to assist us. The Christ I know will have fire in his eyes. That righteous indignation he had in the temple that day was nothing compared to what he's going to have this time around. The evil, the wickedness, the destruction of our world by these creatures. And they only get away with it because certain of our people protect them, cover up their deeds when they know the truth, look the other way when the righteous take a stand, the wicked flee. When the righteous take a stand, the wicked shall perish. I pray a fervent prayer for Yahweh of hosts to come down with that charger for war and call us forth, Father Yahweh, the men that still are on this planet, that still have some testosterone in their veins and still have a will to fight. Call us forth, Father, and let your heavenly host be in command and just tell us what to do and where to do it. Because enough is enough. Our people are a media-driven people. It's disgusting. Completely like zombies, they are driven by whatever comes across the electronic toilet. Would to God they'd shake the dust off their heads and become that valley of dead and dry bones that finally puts on the spirit of Yahweh, the spirit of truth and justice, the spirit of anger, righteous indignation towards the evil. Would our people awaken such as the men in the movie They Live? Awaken to the viper that walks amongst us, doing their evil deeds. And yes, you vipers, I have my sunglasses. I see you very, very plainly. Whereas the arch villain portrayed as a villain, and yet he's actually a protagonist hero of V for Vendetta. Why do people like watching that movie? People that like watching bad guys get their just desserts, like that movie. As we talked about, this poor planet is suffering, and one of the reasons we suffer is because of these oil people. We make plastics from petroleum products, and therefore they don't decompose. When Henry Ford figured out how to make a better plastic that was biodegradable from hemp seed oil or cannabis. But we don't do it because the Jews had never got a hold of a patent on cannabis. It grows naturally. Where oil, it's pretty easy to monopolize that, and that's what the Jews did. And so they have worked like little maggots to make sure that the earth-friendly plastics were never made, even though Henry Ford figured it out a long time ago. And that's just one instance of energy or materials that we could have, and so we could enjoy the nicer things of this world, but we don't have to pollute this world to have them. We should not be putting a negative impact by our own existence on this Mother Earth. That's a sin. It's a sin. That's all there is to it. The federal government here in the United States, like most of the governments of the white nations, is corrupt beyond imagination. So much so they will not be the solution to any of our problems. You understand that, I hope. I don't care if you're talking about over there in the United Kingdom or any of the Germany, Sweden, any of the troubled white nations, your government is infiltrated. They have become outlaws. They are not your government any longer. Because the government of people is to protect their life, liberty, and property. When a government no longer does that, it's not your government. They are interlopers portraying themselves to be your government. They instead are outlaws. Outlaws doing the bidding of the internationalists to the detriment of your people. They have identified themselves as the terrors spoken of in the parable. The terrors who are good for nothing but to be gathered up and destroyed. They can't do the job that you elected them to do because they have sold their soul to Satan's kids for their blood money. In the United States, we have exactly that, states united. These are sovereign states. Within our states, our governor has tremendous power. The sheriff at the county level has tremendous power. We need to start focusing on that and building communities of righteous individuals at the local level. The top, the head of the beast, is completely corrupt. I don't know. It's just, I'm just amazed as I look at this deterioration of this country, this world. And I marvel at how these churchgoers, they go to church every week and yet they have no problem with what they see. How do you do that? I would love one of you to explain it. Hey, you have an invitation to come on this radio show and educate us. Please do. I would love to know how that works. Even in the corrupt Judeo-Christian churches, the whitewashed sepulchers, surely they teach at least a little bit about righteousness. But then again, since 1974, you people have been going to church and you haven't had a problem with the murdering of the unborn, have you? You haven't had a problem with the homosexuals. You haven't had a problem with the race mixing. So, never mind. Go back to sleep. Your day's coming. You're part of the two-thirds that aren't going to make it, by the way. I hope you understand that. You've made your decision. You want to go the way of Baal. You want to go the way that is anti-Christ, who is Yahweh in a flesh body. His law. You've made a new God, Jesus Christ. Some hippie with long hair that just loves everybody. Come on, Martha, let's go down to the church. They're going to serve us up a bay ham dinner. And we're going to go down there and there's going to be a black guy and a white girl get married. So we're going to go down there and give them a blessing. That's who you are. Everything that is a stench in the nostrils of the Father, you portray as acceptable. And you even condone it. When that part of the two-thirds burns up and goes away, no remorse, no regrets on my part. Good riddance to bad rubbish was a saying when I was a boy. You are bad rubbish. You are garbage. You're unfit to be upon this earth. You're the salt that has lost its savor, is good for nothing except to be tread upon under the feet of men, real men, unlike you effeminate pieces of dirt that attend these whitewashed sepulchers. I'm still fighting this flu, and therefore I think I'm going to play you some music and sign off just a little bit early. Dear Heavenly Father, we give you the praise, glory, and honor, and thank you for this opportunity to speak to your children. We pray, Father, for your coming to be soon. We pray for the great awakening of that one-third that cares and loves you more than life itself. They seem to be far and few between, but they're out there, Father. Give them courage. Let them know by thy Holy Spirit that you are with us. We need not fear the enemy. They need to be fearful of us. Be with us and guide us, Father Yahweh. Give us strength. Give us courage. Give us good discernment. And Father, we ask that you protect us from our enemies. We ask this in Yahweh's precious name. Hallelujah. Lord, der bist du.
woke up one day with nothing much to do. He tried to put his street clothes on but couldn't find his shoe. The night before he tied one on, now cobwebs filled his head. By afternoon he called in sick and then went back to bed. The next day he felt shaky, but he made it off to work and voted to increase his pay and take another perk. Although the people cried out loud and told him what to do, instead of trying to cut the cost, he increased revenue. Yippee-yi-yo! Yippee-yi-yay! Tax hikes are on the way. And he said, tax them, tax them, tax them, though it breaks their backs, some tax them where they run, where they hide. In winter's freezing weather, if we can't tax their sweater, we'll try to tax the hair off their hide. My congressman just voted yes to increase foreign aid. Our nation's infrastructure's worn and torn and frayed. While veterans and nation sons become the unemployed, since NAFTA passed those aliens, we'll gladly fill the void. Yippee-yi-yo! Let's use old-fashioned justice and go out and get a rope and hang 'em high. My senator just voted yes to pass the Brady Bill. He thinks if he can take my guns, it's him that won't be killed. He doesn't give a hang about the crime he helps create. As long as bribes keep coming in, Americans can wait. Yippee-yi-yo! Yippee-yi-way! Let's use old-fashioned justice. Go out and get a rope and hang 'em high. Check 'em out, size 'em up, look 'em up, find 'em out. If they're in, vote 'em out. If they're out, hunt 'em down. Drag 'em into the court, every trade or a sword. Use your vote like a rope, hang 'em high. Hang 'em high. Yeah.
To understand that you alone make all things new, and the blessings of the land we love are really gifts from you. If my and turn away from all their wicked ways, then I will hear them and move my hand, and freely then will I forgive, and I will heal their land. Unite our hearts in one accord, and burden for the poor, and grant us hope, and grant us hope, that we might see a future for the land we love, our life, our liberty. If my people will humbly pray and seek my face and turn away from all their wicked ways, and I will heal their land. If my people will humbly pray and seek my face and turn away from all